Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown. Usually we start the show with our theme tune, but we're not going to do that this week because there was an incident last night in Manchester, which really sucks, at the Ariana Grande concert. Ariana Grande, I think that's how you say it. Anyway, so we thought it'd be a cool idea for us just to kind of pay tribute to the people of Manchester after what happened last night.
Yeah, it's always a little jarring whenever these things happen, Kenny. And it's never a, you can never make a positive into anything like this. But like, I was on Twitter and I noticed a bunch of people who lived around the concert venue who opened up their doors to anyone and everyone of any color or sexual orientation. It didn't matter. They opened up their doors for some tea if they wanted it, or just someone to talk to, someone to comfort them. In times like this, if you have to find a silver lining in the bad, and I am of the opinion that you should find a silver lining, you have to look to the good people, you know? And seeing the way that certain people respond to tragedy, we can do that too. You know, there's nothing that says that we can't do that. We have the ability to be just as good as these people, these wonderful people who are opening their homes and their hearts to the confused and scared and lonely and frankly just terrified people of Manchester who were near that venue. So I guess what I would take away from this is to never stop doing the things that you love, never stop going to concerts or wrestling shows or anything out of fear, because when fear overtakes love, that's when these people who did these type of things, that's when they win. That's when they triumph over us. And you can't let them win. You can't let them take your love from you.
Yeah, and it was, 22 people sadly passed away. That sucks. And lots of people injured. But the people of Manchester came together, and there was, you know, taxi drivers giving people free rides home. There was, like you say, people taking people in and letting them stay the night or get food or get a shower or whatever. So really cool to see that happen. And instead of doing a theme song this week, I think we're going to open the show by playing a song from one of Manchester's biggest exports, Oasis with Don't Look Back in Anger. We'll be back after this.
You said that you've never been, but all the things that you
it's funny, you know, Don't Look Back in Anger is a song that very much fits that occasion, but also I'm trying to live by that ethos after Sunday night when Jinder Mahal became the WWE champion. Because if you thought that tragedy was going to stop me being angry about this, you are wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I am not going to let Jinder Mahal... No, I'm kidding. Before anybody tweets me or anything like that, blah, 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 blah. We get it. You ironically like Jinder. Great. So, David...
Could you imagine, Kenny, going through your life with no real emotions about anything? Like, never truly loving anything? Just going, oh, this is funny. This is what I like now. This is the closest emotion that I have to love. It's funny.
Well, I do just want to say, you know, this is obviously the Raw rundown. This is not the SmackDown summary or the Backlash breakdown, which sounds a bit like a dance. But this is episode 44 of the Raw rundown. But before we get to Raw and talk about the lead up to Extreme Rules, I would be remiss. It would be criminal for me to not throw the floor over to my good friend David J. McCutcheon to get his take on the events of Sunday night when Jinder fucking Mahal...
You mispronounced his name. It's Jindy Horowitz. The long-lost cousin to Barry Horowitz, the career jobber from the 1990s, Kenny.
I remember Barry Horowitz got his big win over Skip in the opening match of Action Zone episode.
Yeah. It was a huge win for him. And, you know, Barry Horowitz always used to pat himself on the back during matches, you know? But I think that if Jinder Mahal did that, he would get acne cream all over his hands because that motherfucker suffers from backne, one of the prime symptoms of overuse of steroids. Kenny, did you know that?
I don't know what you're talking about. I think he just has. He has... Listen, Jinder Mahal likes a furry sweater, and he happens to wear them to the arena, and then when he gets to the arena, it plays up his allergies, but he's not going to let fashion not be able to take place just because of his skin condition, so, you know...
That's fair.
He has a bit of backne. Some might say that it was, as people were tweeting, it was WWE back rash.
Yeah. just so good though, right?
The thing is, we had like 35 people sign up for Patreon yesterday alone to hear me talk about this fucking subject. I don't know if I did it justice. I hope I did okay. Everything I told you though was exactly how I felt. And listen, I get it. I get it. If you want me to, if you don't feel the way I feel about it, that's fine. I don't mind if you have a different opinion. I welcome different opinions. The issue I have, and nobody, not one person on Twitter has managed to do this. Nobody can tell me what they like about Jinder or what's good enough about his character to be able to justify this. So for me, that's kind of the indication of why this maybe isn't working. There's a couple of things I do want to bring up, but before I do, David, just tell me what you think. I'm sure I know, but please feel free to, as D-Generation X would say, break it down.
Oh, man, X-Block! I don't really even know where to begin with this. No one can tell me why it's a good idea either. They go... Oh, well, you know, give it a chance. Come on now, give it a chance. You haven't even tried it yet. How do you know what the dog shit tastes like unless you put it in your mouth and chew it a long time and swallow it? I'm like, no, mate, I think it tastes like dog shit. I don't want to find out. You know, some things... Kenny, back whenever we were kids, you never heard anyone go, man, they really blew that opportunity by not putting that title on fucking... Barry Horowitz, you know, he really could have been money. Kenny, he earned it. He earned it. Barry Horowitz earned it. He went out there night after night. He never missed any dates. He put on a very formidable match that everyone forgot about by the time the real main event came around. And he lost every night. He earned it, Kenny. He gets the participation trophy, Kenny. It's the era of the participation trophy. People love that Jinder Mahal has this title because maybe they see it and they go, wow, someone as mediocre as me in my field gets a fucking award. Maybe somebody will give me an award too, since awards no longer matter. Because Lord knows I couldn't get it on my own, Kenny. So, you see these people though, right?
I am familiar. I've just had a certain person right now. Let me just get the tweet actually, because I've had another accusation leveled at me just in the time that we've been talking here.
Are you racist this time?
Oh yeah, this is pretty. Somebody said, interesting that you keep on taking the piss out of someone's look just because you disagree with them being champion. Very interesting. I don't know when I've taken the piss out of Jinder Mahal's look.
Well, he's not drug tested, so this person who's fucking hitting you up with that shit, it's not drug tested, so, you know, I mean, fucking, if you give me enough time, I'll have a body like Jinder Mahal. Just pump me with enough fucking steroids, mate.
Do you know what's funny? To be fair to Jinder, I don't want to hinder Jinder here, apparently. But
well, I'll hinder that motherfucker all night long.
But I went to the gym today for an hour, right? And yeah. I did an hour circuit, and I was fucking dead by the end of it. So I don't know how the fuck he gets through. Well, I'm sure we can all guess. But
all I had to do was take a look at his back, Kenny.
I do want to bring something up actually as a discussion point, because maybe it's better to form this as a little bit of a discussion before we start. Let me ask you this. One of our listeners, Samuel Wallace, had a couple of comments. So I just want to get your thought on this.
Sam. You mispronounced his name. It's Big Sam.
Big Sam.
These parts.
Big Sam. Well, I don't want to get into Sam's proclivities. Here's what he says. He wants to kind of get us to talk about the notion that people are stopping watching over this. He said, people aren't stopping watching over the years of having shit like Cena, Orton, Big Show, Khali, etc. poured down their throats. Homophobic and sexist gimmicks, racist gimmicks, but a mid-carder getting a push seems to be turning everyone off. So he seems to be struggling a little bit with the idea. Now, I'm not stopping watching. I don't think that many people are, but I do know what he means, because there are a small contingent of the audience who've been saying, "Oh, I'm not gonna keep watching this shit." Why do you think that this in particular, the Jinder Mahal experiment, is provoking such a sort of visceral reaction compared to all the other shit that Sam's talking about?
Well, I will roll this back and say that this is at least slightly racist. It's no matter what, very xenophobic. Like, I don't think how that's even remotely up for discussion. It's very xenophobic. Jinder Mahal comes out and directly says, "You don't like me or my people. You judge me based on how I look." That is the very definition. If you picked up a Webster's fucking dictionary right now and looked up xenophobia, that's what they're touching on right now. So at the very least, it is that. So to preface Big Sam's comment, this is a portion of that. So let's not act like this is a separate incident or anything. This is what they're playing off of, right? And so they may do the Bret Hart thing to where he's a baby face over in India, even though all of our Indian listeners hate his guts. So I don't know how well that's going to fly, but I mean...
Our Indian portion of the sort of like focus group has not responded well to Big Jinder.
No, they certainly have not. But I think one of the reasons that everyone gets so offended by this, and it's a reason that I'm so offended by it, is it makes the title mean nothing, because when just anybody and just everybody manages to get a title, then it's a participation trophy at that point. What is the worth in a trophy if everyone gets one, you know? Like, the rarity or the scarcity of something is what makes it desirable, right? Like, Indiana Jones didn't go into the fucking temple and lift up the ancient statue and replace it with something else and get chased by a boulder if he could just go to Dollar Tree and buy another one. You know what I mean? Or Poundland for all of you folks in the UK, right? So, whenever everyone gets something, then it sort of, you know, fucking demeans it for everyone else. also past and present. Like, this retroactively sort of shits all over Bray Wyatt's run. Because if a jobber can get it, then why, you know, what's that say about Bray Wyatt, who never wins?
I do just want to very quickly interrupt, and I did not do this before anybody throws accusations at me, but Jason Robert on Twitter has just sent me a message saying, did you do this? With a picture of Jinder Mahal's Wikipedia, which says Jinder Mahal, and then underneath it says, professional wrestler, and then in capital letters, bag of steroids.
It's so good.
As Shaggy said, it wasn't me. So,
in the words of the prophet Shaggy. But they did catch you fucking on the sofa, Kenny. I will say... thank you. I will say, I think my wife had the best line about Jinder Mahal.
Big Val.
We were sitting there watching Raw last night, and she just randomly out of nowhere made the quip, and she goes, you know, Jinder Mahal is going to be a lot like Hootie and the Blowfish. And I go, what? Like, where did you even pull this from, right? And she goes, well, you know how Hootie and the Blowfish, you know, they sold 10 million records or whatever, but you can't find one person that admits to buying one nowadays. And I go, no, that's very true. And she goes, all these motherfuckers who've been cheering Jinder Mahal, they won't admit to it in a year from now. He'll be just like Del Rio or just like Sheamus. He's going to be one of those guys. He's going to be very ordinary and bland and a shit worker who can't fucking work his way out of a goddamn wrestling ring. And he's going to be in the main event picture. And it's the novelty's going to wear off. The irony's going to wear off because now it's reality and something can't be ironic if it becomes reality, right? Like, how many people do you see these days that walk around and go, I love Nickelback ironically? No one does. No one fucking loves Nickelback, let alone ironically. So
I kind of like Nickelback.
You are the Jinder Mahal of music listeners.
But listen, I fully accept Nickelback for what they are. They're shit rock, you know? Like, I get it. I'm not under any illusion. It's not like I'm like... I don't think Nickelback should win awards. I just, right. Like, if Rockstar's on the TV, I'll you know, bop my head along a wee bit. That's it.
I think it's more because
a 17-year-old Kenny turned on the music channels, and How Do You Remind Me was on there. And I'm always going to rep them a little bit, because I thought it was a bit of a tune.
It's his photograph! See, I'm going to replace that guy whenever he eventually
Photograph
dies.
Is terrible. Photograph is a terrible song.
It's really fucking bad.
Even if you think Nickelback are passable, like that is one. Anyway, it's terrible. But no, I get what you mean. But like, I think Sondra, to be fair to her, I mean, she had a task in her hands last night on Patreon dealing with me, talking about this, and I think that she has got a point that. The Singh brothers make him more interesting, but still, like, I think...
You know, I think the Singh brothers were way more interesting as the Bollywood boys, you know, a babyface, likable tag team.
I do like them when they're dressed for salsa, though. I do like that they're dressed for a salsa dance. But, you know, maybe that just says more about what I like in my personal life, but, salsa dancing. But, the thing that I was going to say is that, you know, there was a lot of people engaging with me on Twitter today, and we were having a back and forth, and the big thing that came up, actually, was a couple of comparisons, because somebody had said, you know, the WWE title doesn't mean much because it's just been, went around four or five guys this year so far, so, you know, it's been Bray Wyatt, John Cena, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and I'm like, yeah, but, like, they were all stars, that's why it's okay, like, and then the comparison I made was, you know, this is like, so, and then somebody said, you know, Randy Orton won the title out of nowhere. Randy Orton won the title suddenly in 2004, and it was. And I was responding to the guy.
Did he lose on TV for a fucking year before that?
And listen, I wasn't being a dick to Adam who tweeted it. Like, I was just saying back to him, I was like, no, that's not really what happened, because what happened was Randy Orton had a year and a half building Evolution and a career-defining feud with Mick Foley, which propelled him to that point.
This would be like if all of the internet existed 20 years ago.
This was my comparison, which I think is the best comparison to give. This would be like when Mick Foley won his WWF Championship in 1999 if he lost it to Tiger Ali Singh.
Oh, man. That is fucking rough. See, I was going to say it would be like if the internet decided, oh, Duke the Dumpster Drozzy, that's a funny gimmick. He should be the world champion. Like, you know, fuck off, man. And then seriously.
The other one is, and I think this one is valid to talk about, is the idea that, you know, JBL was propelled out of nowhere.
He completely transformed, though. Here's the thing, Kenny. Here's the thing.
I'm taking a drink. Swig a beer.
I was not watching WWE at the time, and I heard that Bradshaw won the title, and I said, man, that's a fucking joke. And then I saw Bradshaw, and I go, that's not the same guy. They got a different guy. Because I hadn't been watching. I didn't know. The last time I saw Bradshaw, he was an acolyte. And before that, he was Justin Hawk Bradshaw, branding people with Dutch Mantel. Mm-hmm. So whenever I heard that, I looked him up, and I go, no, that's a different guy. That he doesn't even look like the other guy. There's no way that they're the same person. They just basically gave him this. They got a new guy, brought a new guy in, gave him a new gimmick. So my point being there, the transformation was so good in terms of character and look. He completely changed from what people remembered him as. Jinder Mahal's doing the same xenophobic gimmick that he was doing with the Great Khali 7 years ago, Kenny.
Yeah, no, he is. And
you need to transform a guy if that's the way that you're going to do it.
I think that I am very intrigued to watch SmackDown tonight for a variety of reasons.
Oh, I'm not watching it. I don't give a fuck.
And that's fine. But, like, for me, I'm very intrigued.
And that's not me saying I'm giving up on SmackDown, I'm no longer watching, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just sometimes I don't care. And right now they've got me to where I just literally don't care.
Which, like, for me, tonight is a pivotal show for me, because now you're coming out of this gender experiment, which I don't think is working. And now all the pieces of the puzzle have to be put into new places. You know, where is Nakamura going? Where is Ty Dillinger going? Where is Sami Zayn going? Where is Jinder Mahal going? Where is Randy Orton going? So, I want nothing more for them to put the pieces together and make it good. However, and you know, some people said, you know, you need to give it a chance. And I know you and I have the exact same opinion about people who say give it a chance. I've given it a chance for the last month, and I don't think it's been any good.
So how do you know if heroin is addicting, Kenny, if you've never given it a chance?
Oh, God. Is there anything else you want to say about the gender thing before we move on? Any final words?
Yeah. Jinder Mahal, according to our good pal Noah Courtney, at KLMNZ, or Z, as it were, on Twitter, he noted that Jinder Mahal is just the 50th different individual to hold the WWE title. And I would like to read off people who deserved it way more and some who died trying to get it. Owen Hart, the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, Jake the Snake Roberts, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Booker T, Scott Hall, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Rick Rude, Terry Funk.
That's a real list of people.
that is a list of real wrestlers who could actually work. Some fucking dickhead, I shit you not, said, tell me the difference between Sami Zayn and Jinder Mahal. I said, well, besides the fact that fucking Sammy beat him with two moves of offense the night after WrestleMania, one can wrestle and the other can't? You dumb twat? What a fucking idiot. I blocked him immediately. I don't have time for fucking dweebs in my life, Kenny.
Well,
besides, you're my favorite dweeb.
Oh, well, I think with your current words, you're putting up a good case yourself. But I think it is, you know, Jeremy Corbyn said something the other day, and when listen, Renee, calm down. I'm not getting political. Calm down. You'll be fucking getting in that community, Renee.
you popped me legit.
But Renee actually had a great picture of Jinder Mahal after winning the title, which I'm not going to try and describe on air. But on the Facebook community, which you can find, just search Inside the Ropes fan community, and you'll find it all there. But Jeremy Corbyn was doing an interview about when he had written for... This does come back to wrestling, if you're wondering why I'm tangenting. He was asked in an interview with Sky News about, did you write for a Labour magazine in 1984? Because in that magazine, in that particular issue, there was a kind of Thatcher IRA statement that was made that wasn't very nice or good. And she was sort of questioning, you know, why would you write for a publication like that? And he made a really good point, which I try to go by. Like, I don't block people on Twitter easily. It takes me a lot to block someone. And part of the reason is kind of what Jeremy Corbyn says, is that sometimes you learn the most through speaking to people with different opinions, you know, because if I love hearing the other side of a lot of stuff, because I'm either going to come out of it more passionate about my side of how I feel about something, or I'm going to learn something from the other side. Now, there are also people who do not actually want to have a conversation and just want to annoy you, at which point the block button is your friend. But, you know, I enjoy engaging with people, and you know, some people take my comments on Twitter and stuff as me being a dick. It's just an opinion, you know. But I don't think my...
Well, I mean, to be fair, you are a dick, but not about that per se.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
But no, I think it is important to listen to people with different opinions. And trust me, all I've been fucking doing for the last 2 days is trying to find one fucking Jinder Mahal supporter that can tell me why this is good. And I've not found one yet.
All you hear is, it's something different. Mm. It's like, all right, well, getting diagnosed with cancer is something different.
Jesus Christ.
You fucking idiot.
You had to go to that example. You had to alienate half the listeners. Jesus
Christ. Hey, Kenny. Don't sell my tragedy short. I've also had loved ones die from cancer. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad that you are also going through that as well. On the fucking Tribute to Manchester episode, we came out with a shit. Shall we talk about Monday Night Raw? Let's talk about the show that's kind of taking us on the way to... I keep wanting to say Fastlane. Keep wanting to say it. And it keeps taking all my might to not...
You know which one I always think of?
What?
Roadblock. And the end of the line.
Yeah. Terrible fucking name.
As soon as the trademark's gone, we're getting that for ITR. Oh, and that's going to be the name. Yeah, yeah.
100%.
We're going to have a new weekly show. Just ITR, Roadblock, the end of the line.
Yep. I'm game. So Raw was from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Sondra, our very own Sondra, was there. She'll be telling us a little bit about her live experience tomorrow in the SmackDown Summary. But it was a pretty paint-by-the-numbers show.
Yeah,
it wasn't a very exciting episode. It wasn't a terrible episode. It was just kind of there.
Let me just say, that Grand Rapids crowd, what a bunch of idiots. The worst wrestling crowd. No, I'm ribbing.
They were fucking better than the Chicago crowd on Sunday. Jesus Christ.
No, they really were. I ribbed Sandra on that because she goes, I'm really afraid of what you're going to say about the Grand Rapids crowd. I am notorious for ripping into crowds. So.
You are. At least Grand Rapids get a reprieve. We kick off the show with Bray Wyatt. He comes out. He talks about the beast cometh, and the beast is all around us, and he lives in each and every one of you. And, you know, good on about how, you know, he's the one that can protect us. And then we get Roman Reigns coming out. He talks about, you know, you're in my yard and blah, 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 blah. All wraps up into Kurt Angle coming out to make Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt for right then and there. The match only goes a couple of minutes though, because Samoa Joe comes out to put Roman Reigns in the Coquina Clutch. It's broken up, and then Bray Wyatt attacks Roman Reigns, but then Joe puts Bray in the clutch, and then Seth Rollins runs out. Big schmoz, and that was kind of the opening shebang, which will lead to a main event tag match of Roman and Seth against Bray and Joe. David, what do you think about this opening segment / match angle with four of the five guys from the five-way to try and, I don't know, get some heat between the four of them?
This is so tricky because my overall opinion of it ties into the main event too, which I'll just go ahead and start spilling the beans about it and touch on the main event too whenever it comes up. But even like during the Attitude Era, this type of stuff didn't run rampant with WWE programming. And I feel like it's just really bad these days with this. Like they really rely on this to where every week, and they even teased it at the end of this show that next week all these guys are going to start touching again, right? And so every week we have these scenarios where we're seeing these guys in action in different forms, right? You know, it's all they're all getting together for one big schmoz, right? To the point where all we care about, we don't care about the actual wrestling of the pay-per-view that's coming up. Right? We don't. That it's just something that it doesn't matter to us. Right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because these people touch every single week on Raw. It's nothing new. It's like watching a rerun of a show or like watching an episode of a story arc to a show that just repeats the same narrative from the week before. All we care about coming up for that pay-per-view is the end result. Who's going to win? We could not care anymore than we already do, which is just like getting us to care, Kenny, is a lot like trying to sell tickets in Chicago after you announce that Jinder Mahal's in the main event. You're only going to sell about 300 tickets in a month, you know.
So legit number, apparently.
Yeah, legit, according to Meltzer. Hilarious. But, I mean, you know, you reap what you sow, right? And that's kind of the way that they're doing here. They're reaping what they sow. If they can get 300 people excited for this pay-per-view wrestling match and not just the result, it's going to be a miracle. Because all these – the standard formula for this is introduce these guys, have them come out, wrestle, even have a clean finish like they did for this show, and just move on to the next week where they rinse and repeat. There's no consequences on Monday Night Raws whenever this is the formula. Therefore, there's no engagement. That's why I really liked Braun Strowman being on Monday Night Raw. You never really knew what was going to happen. I was looking forward to Raw every week whenever he was there because there was that element of chaos, you know, and almost a neutral chaos even, right? Mm-hmm. So it was chaotic. It was interesting. It was new. It was fresh. It was different. As to where this is sort of like giving a child a coloring book and go, don't paint outside the lines, kids. Keep it in those lines and make sure that you only use primary colors right here. And, you know, if you want to go a little crazy over to the side, you can. And eventually the kids are just going to grow bored and they're not going to want to color, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, there's an element to that for sure that, you know, we see the same. I mean, maybe that's part of why Goldberg Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania hit so well, because we hadn't seen them actually wrestle. You know, we'd seen them do one or two things to each other, but you hadn't seen the full match, you know, so there was something to look forward to.
I will say this, you will never see Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar on Raw the week before they face each other at a pay-per-view.
No, you won't. Well, unless you want to pay an extra $3 million to make it happen, in which case you might. I think that, and Dave Meltzer touched on this, so I don't want to try and claim originality for it, but, you know, you look at the Bray Wyatt promos that he does, and he's such a charismatic guy, but I do tune out most of the time because I don't buy what he's selling, so...
Maybe if there was some consequence to what he was selling.
Or maybe if he walks up and he goes, I mean, if Roman Reigns isn't careful, Roman Reigns might be dragged out to the desert and hung. Take him to the desert and hang him. And then you've done what you said you were going to do. And yes, then you're going to be like, oh, fuck, when he says something's going to happen, it might actually happen. And the thing is, like, the problem that you have is that, and it's just the way life is now. It's not even like a big complaint, but like wrestling is something now that is not booked a year ahead of time because so many things change now. Fan response to people changes so often. Injuries happen. New people get over, so plans change, or stubborn people keep pushing the same person. All these different things happen, right? So for Bray Wyatt, part of his strength is his long promos. But if his long promos have to pay off 9 months down the line, then odds are it's probably not going to happen the way that he says it. So I feel like it makes a lot of his promos redundant. So
yeah.
But I think that he is a captivating guy, and but I do think he needs to do something different now.
No, he does.
I don't know what that is, but he needs to. And it's kind of like, you know, you were talking about JBL there, and I'm not saying that Bray Wyatt should become a guy in a suit or anything, but like, you know, JBL completely changed his whole thing to become this top guy. And I don't think Bray Wyatt needs to necessarily change like a JBL kind of change, but what about like an what about like an Undertaker kind of change, from when Undertaker went from the dead man to the American badass? Like a variation on the same guy. If Bray could find something, maybe Bray could be more of a kind of a Sons of Anarchy kind of character than the kind of spooky guy that he is now. I think if he could do something to change himself up and be fresh and then deliver, that would go a long way towards people getting invested in him again.
You know, I don't even think it needs to be that drastic. I think maybe just changing the tone in the way that he speaks, because he's such a charismatic speaker. And it's not monotonous at all, but whenever you fail to back up anything, and you know, you say that you're the eater of the worlds and you got the whole world in your hand and you're going to send people to an endless void like Randy Orton, which, I mean, Randy Orton did lose to Jinder Mahal, so maybe he was right on that. Maybe he actually did send him to a useless purgatory. But my point is, though, is maybe all you have to do is just change the very basic fundamentals of the guy. Make him deliver on his promises. Maybe change the cadence of his voice. Something just slightly different. You know, Kenny, whenever Kurt Angle and he were in the same ring together, that was really interesting. We were both pretty interested in that.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He was in the ring directly making eye contact with Kurt Angle and speaking directly to Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle sold it. Oh my God, somebody selling that Bray Wyatt is scary. Maybe that's all he needs. Maybe he needs somebody to treat him as a real threat, and maybe he will be taken as one.
It's a good possibility. I like it. But yeah, I thought that overall I didn't have a problem. I was relatively entertained by the short Reigns Wyatt match. I liked the Joe interference. I liked seeing Joe putting the clutch onto Bray Wyatt. I thought it was a really cool visual. So yeah, I mean, that is what it is. But we did end up with as this finished, you know, and we had the tag match set up for the main event. The Drifter, Elias Samson, came into the shot with Kurt Angle, and Angle said, you know, you're going to have your first match on Raw tonight with Dean Ambrose. So we'll talk a little bit about that when he comes in. But up next was the Cruiserweights. It was Arya Divari against the tag team of Akira and Tozawa.
Akira and Tozawa, huh?
I'm never going to live this. You've not heard about this, have you?
No.
So we're doing the NXT TakeOver review on Saturday night, and I thought I'd be a smart arse and say to Robert, oh, what are the names of the authors of pain again? What are the names of the authors of pain? And then he couldn't quite get it. And I thought, I'll need to say it quickly before he does. And then I got too flustered and I said, isn't it Akira and Tozawa? That's one person.
My favorite joke I've ever made on Twitter was I was watching TakeOver and I said, don't tell my heart, my ache 'em break 'em heart.
No, that is good. That is good.
Yeah. I was. Thank you. I know. I'm pretty great sometimes.
Yeah, you bring it up to get validation. So Akira Tozawa against Arya Divari, 2 minute match. Akira Tozawa wins. Who cares? Any thoughts?
None. I can't believe they're still doing this fucking angle. This is just like, I am so angst ridden with wrestling this week, Kenny.
It's hard to get excited, but if anything's going to get you excited, it is Noam Dar turning up as the boyfriend of Alicia Fox to try and show some sass to Sasha Banks. Always will put a smile on my face. Noam Dar.
He's really maximizing his minutes, though. Like,
oh,
for real.
Yeah. He's great.
For real.
Yeah. And the thing is, he's not afraid to come across like a goofball.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what you need, though. You need somebody who
Vince is going to like you. That's how he's going to yes. like you.
Yeah, exactly. Someone who embraces stuff. Don't be a red rooster, right?
Very good reference. be an Akeem.
Yes, yeah, be an Akeem. Don't be a red rooster.
So we get Elias Samson the Drifter. He's on a stool in the ring, and he's playing his guitar and singing a song about, you know, the fans can say goodbye to the lunatic in his last night. And then Dean Ambrose comes out.
It was like the worst song on the planet. It was so good.
Oh, it was terrible. Terrible.
Oh, it was so good. I loved it. It was so bad.
And The Miz and Maurice are on commentary, and the match goes about 10 minutes, and then basically The Miz comes in and hits Elias Samson to cause the DQ, laughs at Dean Ambrose and runs away. I didn't think I was going to say this, but I actually really like Elias Samson.
I love him! Oh, man, it's so good. Like,
I didn't think I was going to like him, but like, I like the... I think because he was doing some funny, like, you know, going through the screenshots with his guitar for a while, it made me kind of like him. And then I thought his match was decent enough, and he got to hang in there with Dean Ambrose, which is important.
Yeah, no, very important. And I think my favorite line from the week, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but Brian Alvarez put out a tweet, and he said the Drifter's making his debut on Raw. And maybe he could win the Universal Championship to appeal to the demographic of all the people who have drifted away from the WWE. just top notch. But no, a good, great debut for Elias Samson. He had a better debut than Nakamura did.
Yeah, he did, which is harrowing to think about.
Oh, just horrible. Just horrible, man.
But I actually think that the Miz, I liked the finish. I liked the Miz, because that's the kind of thing the Miz would do. The Miz is the kind of arsehole that would attack your opponent just so you wouldn't get the victory. Like, he's that kind of guy. So right. It kind of worked for me. You know, I am pretty much... I'm looking forward to one more Ambrose Miz IC title match. I think my thing is that I want it to be one more, and that's it. Like, I'm kind of, I feel Extreme Rules is my checkout point of that feud.
Yeah.
So I hope I hope that's where it goes, and we can move on.
I'm really hoping it's finished after that, man, because I don't know if I can take it.
But I think they're doing a good program at the moment. I think it's funny. Yeah. It's good fun. We see backstage that Enzo Amore has been attacked. My favorite thing was someone who said, somebody on Twitter went, clearly someone's doing God's work. Big Cass is raging, and, you know, Kurt Angle saying he's going to get to the bottom of it, find out who it is, and Cass says, you know, you better before I do. I'm going to put you on the spot, David. Who attacked Enzo?
At first, I thought it was Big Cass. That was immediately my reaction. But then I found out later that it was, well, I don't know for certain, but the Revival were walking around backstage, Kenny.
They were.
Yeah, I think it was them. What about you?
Yeah, I think the revival could be the Revival could. That makes the most sense, you know, a tag team feud. It feels like that's what it would be. So,
yeah.
I'd be cool with that. I'd be down with that.
No, I would too. I think it's great. Yeah.
The Revival at about just under a month away from coming back, something like that. So,
I cannot wait to say yeah, Kenny.
It is a great catchphrase. Yeah. So I guess we'll find out in due course. Who the attackers or the attacker is. Finn Balor comes out for the match with Karl Anderson, and as Finn Balor's about to do he's in the middle of cutting a promo in the ring when Paul Heyman comes out and interrupts him. And Heyman said that, you know, if Wyatt won the match at Extreme Rules, or Rollins, or Joe, or Roman, that they would just be a victim to Brock Lesnar. And then he said that, you know, with Finn Balor, he said, Finn Balor's nobody's victim. He's not an underdog, and he was, I see you coming, even if they don't see you coming. Called him the most talented in-ring performer in WWE today, and basically wished him luck. And then Balor said, go and tell your beast that Finn Balor will beat Brock Lesnar. And Heyman sold it with some concern. What I got from this is that we are definitely getting a Finn Balor-Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah, I think that if not at Great Balls of Fire, it's coming this year regardless. And this was like the best segment on the show, in my opinion.
In terms of building stuff, yeah. Like, I mean, like I said before, like, Balor's the one I want to see. I think that him and Lesnar would have a really good match. So I'm into it. I like the idea of Heyman turning up unannounced. He didn't cut, like, you know, a promo we're going to be talking about in 3 years' time, but he sowed the seeds for the future. And whether their match happens in July or August or November, it's going to happen. And I think that I like what they're doing with Finn Balor. I like that he's kind of just bubbling underneath. You know, he's getting wins and he's stating his point every time about what he wants. You know, obviously he lost last week to Roman because they felt that they had to do the, he's beat Roman, now Roman's beat him, so I guess the rubber
50-50 booking, no one can get booking. Over.
Now, what I'm curious about is if Balor does win, who he would pin. I think it's probably going to be Wyatt or Joe, but that's just me. But yeah, no, I thought the segment was really strong, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. We had a kind of short match with Finn Balor and Karl Anderson. They obviously work well together because they've worked for so long together. Finn Balor gets the win. It was fine.
Really, it bothered me and it bothered a lot of people, New Japan fans in particular, that they just gave this away. Like, these guys were, you know, they were in the Bullet Club and everything, and, you know, they fucking, Karl Anderson has Bullet Club on his tights. And, you know, and they couldn't even, like, you know, address it or make it a bigger portion of the story. It was just like a throwaway thing that they gave him. But the match was great. I mean, you know, but it's just like, man, you have so much talent there and so much laid-in story that's already written for you. And you can't even be bothered to come up with a new story for it? It's just like, you're too lazy?
See,
it's just inexcusable to me.
I think that they, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people are going to like, but I don't think they really intend to do anything with the club and Finn Balor. I don't think it's in their plans. So I don't think they really thought that they were, you know, not giving anything away or anything like that. I think they just kind of like were like, well, we don't really see anything there. We don't want to explore that. Which, if down the line that becomes a thing, then I guess I didn't really have an issue with it. I mean, I know some people who were very attached. Like you were saying, that you're a big New Japan fan. I'm not as attached to that brand, so it didn't bother me as much. Maybe if I was, I'd be more irked about it. But I think what was good about it is that Karl Anderson, a lot of times when he has matches, is not made to look competitive, and Balor made him look competitive, which I thought was a good thing.
Yeah, no, it was a good match, and they both got their shit in, so, you know.
Yeah. Perfect. So, yeah, we go from there to Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. Sasha gets the win very quickly, but then following it, Noam Dar goes to hit Sasha, and she slaps him in the face. And then Alicia Fox attacks Sasha and puts her into the ground with that scissors kick that she's known for. So I guess this continues. It's one of those things, I was thinking about this today because, like, you know how, like, when we were growing up and stuff, the same thing happened. Like, we had feuds that took place while you waited for people to go into title programs and stuff. Like, it happened. But I think that what the difference is before, all the characters seemed to tie together so well that I don't think I noticed it very much.
Yeah.
Whereas now I notice it more. So like with Sasha, it's like, it does feel like she's done nothing for a long time now.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time that she was really involved in something juicy, like the Charlotte thing that ended at Road?
Yeah.
Ended a lot.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah, I was gonna say it's been a long time.
But then, do you know what? I don't even have like a. It's not like I'm like, oh, they should be doing this, because if Bayley's in the program, Alexa Bliss, I don't know what you do with Sasha right now. I don't know what the best thing to do with it is. I just don't know if having Sasha beat Alicia Fox in the rubber match and then having Fox attack her afterwards is the best way for me to be excited about seeing it again.
Sasha's just one of those people. It feels like she hasn't done anything all year, you know?
Yeah, she's somebody who's kind of struggling right now. And
I've heard the rumors that Vince doesn't care for her too much. I think she's injury prone and whatnot, but I'm not sure exactly how much truth there is to that. But if the booking is any indication, I mean, she's not being booked to look well at all right now. So
it's interesting because I feel like on SmackDown, all the women are utilized a lot, whereas on Raw, they're kind of... They are used, but it doesn't feel like there's much.
Very top heavy on Raw.
Yeah. So, but I guess, you know, Sasha and Alicia will continue, and it may end one of these days. Big fucking Billy Big Boss Kalisto has decided that he wants to pick a fight with Apollo Crews because he's a fucking idiot. Titus O'Neil gets involved. Kalisto was like, did you attack Enzo Amore? Because like, he's a fucking activist now. And Apollo Crews, you know, says, you know me a long time, you should know me better than that. And Titus gets involved, and basically Titus was like, assumed that Kalisto wanted to be the first international member of the Titus brand.
I love how he was naming off all the currency and he said food stamps. Mm-hmm.
So good. Titus O'Neil.
I don't know if you guys have food stamps or not. But
we know what they are.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you knew or not, but for anyone who doesn't, food stamps are basically what you give to poor people so they can exchange it for food at the grocery store. And in the inner city, they are often used as currency. So there you like under the table currency. Like I'll you know, you give me fucking 3 joints, and I'll buy you $75 worth the groceries, right? It's gotta be the joints of the good shit, Kenny. Don't be giving me no dirt weed, all right? I know the way you are. I know the way you are.
What is happening right now? I don't know what's going on.
I'm taking the Scott. All the way from his lovely idyllic home in Scotland, and bringing him directly to the ghetto of the inner city.
Mate, I'd own the inner cities. I'd be all about it. I would just play Sasha Banks' theme tune and repeat and do the little hand swerve thing that she does.
You know what would happen? You know what would happen though?
What?
Like we would bring you to like the area where I grew up. And immediately people be like, look at this fucking white boy. And they would immediately try to engage you. And the second you opened your mouth up with that accent, they would fucking run off like you were some sort of fucking wizard. They'd be like, oh shit, I'm not fucking with that guy. He's weird. Just immediately.
I would just
the
say.
Slightest hint.
If I saw anybody dodgy, I would just say, murder! Realize.
We got to get you to the ghetto. That's happening. Oh, that's yes. Happened for ICR one day.
It's on my list. Yeah. Get me to the ghetto.
Yeah. We'll take you to Dr. Martin Luther King Drive, homie. We got it. We're gonna do it.
I'll do the walk at Selma. Anyway, we get a pre-tape video of Gold Dust. He is back. It's a Shattered Dreams production video. He's in the director's chair. The brightest lights may fade, but gold is the purest of them all. He's back. He was handed a script at one point. He threw it down. He doesn't need one because it's his picture. And he's back in the director's chair. The Golden Age is back. I was so happy to see Goldust back as Goldust.
Like the old heel Goldust from 20 years ago. I loved it, man.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It was so good. This was definitely a highlight of Raw for me. Like, it got to the point where I was charging my phone and I got up, Kenny. I physically got up. Do you know how much it takes for
me to...
Takes you
a couple of minutes. I've seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
You needed my help a couple of times.
Yeah. And, you know, I have the little bracelet on and I click the button and then the ambulance comes and they get the forklift. It's great. But like, I actually physically got up and went into my office to grab my charging phone just so I could tweet how much I love this. It was so good. It was such a breath of fresh air. I enjoyed it immensely. I love it. He's so good. And he's in the best shape of his career right now. And I kind of want to see him have just a slight bit of a run. Not a Jinder Mahal, but just put him in a big match. Put him in a big match for the IC title or something. He doesn't have to win, but give him something, man.
Yeah, no, I hope that he disposes of R-Truth fairly easily and moves up the card a little bit. We got an interview from Alexa Bliss. She's facing Mickey James later on in the show. We got a video package of the Braun Strowman thing, which basically tells you he's coming back sooner than we think. Yay!
Okay, I cannot wait. You could say that he's not finished with you, Kenny.
Oh, did you see that thing? Somebody's put it as the, like, you know, the America, we want you. And they've put Braun Strowman's head on it, and it's, I'm not finished with you.
Oh, Uncle Sam.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. We get Apollo Crews versus Kalisto Kane, and Kalisto Kane manages to get the victory in like 3 minutes. So, you know, Apollo Crews had 1 week of being useful. and Kalisto won, Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil were baffled, just as I was, at the result. So, has Kalisto got... I don't want to make it like I care too much here, but has Kalisto got new music, or is it just me?
I couldn't even tell you. I don't pay attention to that shit.
I think he's got new music. up next is Matt Hardy versus Sheamus. Winner picks a stipulation for Extreme Rules. Matt's still doing the delete stuff. He's still doing the broken stuff. Interesting development on that. Ed Nordholm, the guy who's sort of the president of Impact Wrestling, was on Live Audio Wrestling, where he said that they own the IP for Broken Matt Hardy, and he says that they would be happy to make a deal for the Hardys to be able to use it elsewhere. And it's escalated into Dutch Mantel and Rebby Hardy and Matt Hardy all kind of getting into it on Twitter. So the legalities roll on. Just, I don't care what happens, just get the broken stuff on my TV. That's what I want. So hopefully we get it.
That guy is a massive dick.
Ed Nordholm?
Yes.
Are you implying that him going on a podcast run by his own network to spew diatribes about performers that he cast to the side and is a bad thing?
Kenny, I'm in a horrible mood this week, and if I saw him at the supermarket, I'd spit in his eye.
I'd probably high-five you, to be honest. Matt Hardy and Sheamus had a decent match. Matt Hardy, like, he can still go. He really can.
Oh, yeah. Just the consummate professional, right?
Good shape. You know, we had Jeff took out Cesaro with a dive towards the end. Matt has a twist of fate on Sheamus while he's distracted. Got the pin. The Hardys get to choose the stipulation, and they've chosen a steel cage, which I'm pretty happy about because I love me a good steel cage match. And he did one of his yes things.
He did.
So
it
was pretty cool. Yeah, so I'm glad that we're getting a cage match with these guys, because I think these four guys in the cage could be a highlight of Extreme Rules.
Definitely. No, that's the second I heard it, I was like, oh, that's going to be great then. I can't wait.
Austin Aries versus Tony Nese. Austin Aries won. I just don't care. Any thoughts, though?
No, I mean, to be fair, it's a Tony Nese segment.
Fucking Tony Nese.
I mean, he's no Kalisto, but, you know.
No, he's up there, though. Aries and Neville are having another match at Extreme Rules for the Cruiserweight title. So, you know.
That tire is going bald. They need to get a new set on there, you know?
Yep. Alexa Bliss got a pretty quick win over Mickie James on the show, which led to Bayley coming out when Alexa Bliss was going to maybe try and hit Mickie James with the... Well, I mean, she got the kendo stick and she hit Mickie James with it, but then Bayley ran out. And Bayley had the kendo stick, but obviously didn't get it on her. So how do you feel about this with Bayley having a kendo stick? Is this a good moment for her, and that, you know, at Extreme Rules she can finally show that she is able to be that violent, or is this not something that you want to see from Bayley?
No, I'm excited for it. I think that this is a positive direction for Bayley. Maybe it will break up the monotony. How cool would it be, by the way, if she comes out and Tommy Dreamer's in her corner or something?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you know, everybody always jumps and makes the reference to John Cena, but maybe she could get a little bit more of an edge and be more like a Tommy Dreamer. And I don't mean that she's going to start grabbing two women and making out with them at once, but, you know, I mean...
She's doing.
Her prerogative, right?
Yes, exactly. So we we got that, and then that kind of led us into the... There's going to be a street fight on 205 Live between Akira Tozawa and the Brian Kendrick. So if you are keen to see week 18 of that, then tune in.
Brian Kendrick's laying out his lessons. He's like, lesson 4,326.
Armbar.
Ah, great reference. I love you, Kenny.
So we get main event. It's Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, two parts of the three-piece shield against Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt. Match goes about 15 minutes. It was decent. The lack of stakes, I think, hurt it a little bit because, you know, the idea of, like, Kurt Angle setting up that they need to show teamwork for a match where they need to be all against themselves is a bit weird.
It makes no sense.
That's like me getting up and saying, David, I need to see how much of a teetotal guy you can be, so see how quickly you can drink these three beers. Right. I don't think that makes sense. So, basically, Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt get the victory in the end because Joe gets Rollins in the clutch and gets the win. Then after the match, Kurt Angle was shown on the screen. Finn Balor comes up to him, and Angle says that, you know, next week he's going to make a match where he's going to have Finn Balor.
Ah, like the football team or basketball or whatever sport
Finn
they play.
Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe versus Bray Wyatt in a triple threat match. And Reigns versus Rollins next week. I'm going to be honest with you. Reigns versus Rollins is intriguing to me because it kind of means that they're not going to be able to be as pally as they were before. So that's good.
At the same time, though, that would be really fun to see, you know, elsewhere as opposed to a throwaway match that means nothing before a pay-per-view.
That's true. That's true. It's damn true. We're going to get Balor, Joe, and Bray in a triple threat match and Reigns, Rollins as a one-on-one. You know, the ratings for Raw have been dipping, so I understand why they felt the need to try and, you know, put some stuff on the show so people will watch it. Because otherwise, like, what are people going to watch next week for? It's a go-home show, you know? We know what's happening in Extreme Rules, so... overall, though, I thought this show was completely average, so I'm going to give it a 5 because it didn't rock my world. It didn't make me want to turn it off. It was just there. So I'm going to give it a very in the middle 5. Where are you going to give this particular episode of Monday Night Raw?
I completely agree with you. I had 5 picked out from the very start. It was as pedestrian can be, but at least it was not WWE Backlash, which I would probably give a 0 because it was horrible.
That's true. Now, you are going to Money in the Bank in June, which I actually think that's going to be a little bit better of a show than I think you think it's going to be. You're going to get the Money in the Bank match with a lot of good guys in it. I don't know if you've read the Pro Wrestling Sheet Report where they are going to do a women's Money in the Bank match at that show.
Oh, I did not read that. That's cool.
So you're going to get that as well. There'll probably be a Naomi. I don't know if there could be a Naomi defense. I don't know if there's enough women on that brand to do that Money in the Bank.
Right?
And then we're going to get, I assume Owens and AJ again. So it should be a decent show. But SmackDown will be interesting tonight. Sandra and I will be talking about the fallout from that tomorrow. David, tell us something good. Tell us something fun that to make us feel better after Manchester, a pedestrian Raw, and Jinder Mahal winning the title. And I've got levels of importance for this. Manchester obviously be the most important compared to Jinder. But tell us something fun.
For a joke, I was going to tell you about my time in the hospital on Monday.
Oh,
Should Kenny, I will leave it up to you. Should I go ahead with the real life joke, or should I just actually try to find something positive?
You should probably just tell the joke, I think.
Well, I was pissing blood on my day off on Sunday, Kenny. Had to go to the hospital to find out why there was blood coming from my penis, Kenny.
I don't like the way that you're putting my name into this so often.
All I'm saying is I think I contracted something from you.
Listen,
in Orlando.
Is there anything you have to tell me? Listen, my dick's not been pissing blood. That's on you, not me.
I like the idea, though, that you're just like the host of it. Like, it doesn't attack your body. You're just the host body that transfers it to other people.
I just pass it on to other people. Yeah,
right, 100%. Right. But no. I have a prostate, bladder, and kidney infection right now. So I basically feel like Braun Strowman was, in fact, not done with me yet. So, yeah. not doing so well, Kenny. And they didn't even give me any painkillers. So I don't know if you ever had a kidney infection, but it feels like someone took a baseball bat to your back.
So I asked David to tell us something nice or something fun, and all he had was, oh, blood's coming at my dick.
That was one end of the spectrum, right? But then on the other end of the spectrum, Kenny, I'm alive. I'm happy. I'm healthy. You know what I'm doing in 2 hours, Kenny?
I don't know. Please tell me.
I'm going to dinner with my family. How wonderful is that?
We don't usually
get together, all of us, in one place, right? There's not many of us left, but we don't really get together in one place. It's usually like a twice a year thing. And we're about to do that, and it's going to be lovely, and we're going to have a good time, right? It's going to be a good time. We're going to be thinking positive things, spending time with loved ones, right? You love your mom, right? You always go on about how much you love your mom. So I'm giving you a homework assignment, Kenny. You need to go and do something nice for your mom this weekend. That's what you need
to do. I've done enough fucking nice things for that woman.
No. No, Kenny, listen to me. She's lovely. She deserves something wonderful this weekend. Go buy her some flowers or some chocolates, Kenny.
I'll tell you actually something that I'll tell you a quick story my mom told me about 2 hours ago, actually. So,
sure.
My mom sounds very posh, and she's like, you know, she's very kind of like, you know, she's not a swearer or whatever. And anyway, what's the fucking best word to describe him? We'll say cousin. Anyway, my cousin Gary, I've mentioned it before on this. And he tries to goad my mom sometimes. So my mom uses all these weird and wacky words. She'll say, like, you know, impinge upon me and stuff like that. Or she'll use all these mad words that just makes her sound like she's in a Carry On film. And anyway, Gary turned around to her one day and said, Fiona, his mom's name, Fiona, just swear. And she was like, no, I will not swear. I was like, come on, just say something, just swear. And she was like, I will absolutely not swear. I will not be speaking like that. And Gary's like, oh, come on, just one swear word. And she was like, no, absolutely not, Gary. I will not rise to this from you. And he went, why not? And she went, because it fucks you up. And then she left the room.
See, that's perfect. You reel them in, you get them to want it, and then you give them just enough to where they'll remember it forever.
And so the other thing was, so we're sitting today. She came over after work just to say hi. And we're sitting just watching TV and having a drink and stuff. And she went, I meant to ask you. I was like, what? She said, who's Jinder? I was like, what? And she was like, I keep going in the Facebook. She calls it the Facebook. I keep going in the Facebook, and there's all these posts about a Jinder. Who is he? And I was like, well, right, so he got remarried. He was like a jobber for like 10 years, and then he came back last year, and he's lost ever since. I've never heard of him. I was like, well, that he's a jobber, so, you know.
Right, you wouldn't.
And then I went, you know, and then he's won the title. And she went, oh, that's not very good, is it? that was her reaction. So, Jinder Mahal is not over with my mother.
we need to start just having like a Fiona McIntosh story like every week.
She seems to deliver them.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's always so much. I have tales from my drug dealing inner city ghetto mom, and you can have tales from your very elegant posh mom.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So, I feel like if they had ever been able to be in the same room together, they would have probably just found a way to make fun of both of us for most of it.
No, there's zero doubt in my mind that if my mother had the opportunity, she would have made fun of me to strangers. And would just cause.
can't blame her. David, where can we find you on Twitter?
Go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at Zoopsoul, ZOOPSOUL. Always better than Jeff Jarrett. Let me know what you think. Let's be angsty together. I'm very angsty and angry this week, and I love it. So you hit me up, guys. I'm not always level headed. But I'm more level-headed than I was this week. But I don't care. I'm embracing the darkness. I'm embracing the demon. I'm channeling Finn Balor.
I love that it got so high that it's Balor. Balor! Balor! It's Balor! 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 How many times do you need to say it? If I can say it with my accent, you know, there's no excuse for anybody else.
No, it's true.
Anyway, plenty coming up on Inside the Ropes. I would encourage you to go and listen on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes, to Sondra and I talking about Backlash for just under 2 hours. I think it's a very interesting conversation where we both come at the gender thing from different points, and it's worth a listen.
By the way, you did pronounce Backlash incorrectly. It's Backrash.
Sorry, yeah, Backrash. I apologize. It is Backrash, named after our current champion, Jinder Mahal. Now, also, I need to admit it, you know, I did say if that fucker won the championship, it would have to be the month of Maharaja on Inside the Ropes. So, David, you officially have 1 week. And this time next week in the Raw Rundown, you need to tell people on air what you want to make me do as part of the month of Maharaja.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Now, what? I am not going to get a tattoo, so no matter what, if you think I'm branding myself with him, it's not going to happen. But within reason,
he will get a tattoo of my face, though.
I mean, I've already got a set of balls, so I mean, we could just scrunch it together and it would look like your face. I mean, there's no need.
You need a little miniature. I was going to say you need little miniature glasses to go.
Done. So,
my nose isn't that long, Kenny. Come on now.
It's not. But we've got a packed week here on Inside the Ropes. SmackDown Summary tomorrow, as well as a Retro Raw, which is late from last week. Thursday is, if you're on Patreon, you're going to get the Power Slam podcast episode 2, 24 hours before everyone else. Friday, for everybody else, it goes on YouTube. We've also got the Retro Raw coming on Friday. There's more Patreon podcasts coming this week for our $50 pledges that need it. And a lot of people have said, you know, like, they almost can't keep up with us on Patreon, and the reason for that is because the way I like to think of it is if you pay us any of your money, that we need to work to keep it, and that's how we try to think of it. So we will continue to work to keep it, and David and I will be on there next weekend with our Extreme Rules review. So that'll be there as well. Plenty to come, and have a great week. And hopefully, you know, you never know, maybe 24 hours from now, Sondra and I can be on the podcast and Jinder will have lost the WWE Championship to AJ Styles and all will be restored. I don't think it will, but you can always hope. You can always hope.
You have to have hope, ladies and gentlemen, because once you take hope away, what is life? You got to have something to look forward to. You got to embrace every day. You got to wake up and put a smile on your face and go, damn it, something wonderful is going to happen today.
So I'm going to leave you with a theme song. And as you hear the beginning of this, I want you to just imagine as you go to tuck yourself into bed at night, you turn off the light and you know, you put your head nestled on that pillow, that you now hear the noise of the demon cock. It's coming for you.
It's rumbling under your bed. And then also, Seven is at the window.
God, that's quite a double team. See you next week, everybody.